The liturgy for Good Friday says that at this point in the service, all may kneel in silence after the verse that mentions Christ's death. Kneeling is completely optional, but we're just going to take 30 seconds now to just pause and reflect on what we've just heard. We got kids here, so if they make some noise, that's fine, but we're just going to take some time to pause. It is finished. Three words in English, one word in Greek, but there's so much truth there. If you're still kneeling, you're welcome to sit back up for the reflection time. This afternoon, we're going to listen to those words three times. And each time we're going to use a different word picture to try to get a little bit clearer of a sense of the meaning of those words. So, first picture, the end. Maybe those words come when you turn the final page at the end of your favorite novel. Maybe you see them on the screen after it fades to black at the end of a movie. But we know those words. The end. They signal that the story is over. The show is done. It's time to go home. I think this is how the first disciples would have heard what Jesus said on the cross. It is finished. The end. Game over. Pack it up. We get a hint of this in the disciples walking the Emmaus Road, a story many of us know well. The two of them are walking and they're talking with a stranger. And they say to him at one point, "We had hoped that Jesus was the one who would redeem Israel." And you can hear disappointment in those words. We had hoped. We had thought maybe he was the Messiah. We had dreamed of the future. We had believed. But we were wrong. We hoped it was true, but it's over now. It seemed so good, but we lost it somehow. It is finished. The end. But that's not the only way we can hear those words. And while the first disciples, I think, heard "it is finished" as the end, I don't think that's how Jesus perceived those words. So the picture I'd like to suggest for our second hearing of those words is that of graduation day. Bunch of people smiling in fancy robes, funny tasseled hats. Years of hard work, years of dedication, years of discipline and pain and struggle. But now is the time to celebrate the accomplishment. Now is the time to acknowledge that all that work did what it was supposed to do. I think we can hear that in the passage that we just heard that Chad read for us. John 19. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was finished, same word, same form that we hear later, knowing that all was finished, Jesus, in order to fulfill, related word, in order to fulfill what the scriptures said, he said, I thirst. And then after drinking, he said, it's all finished. It's all fulfilled. It's accomplished. It's graduation day. It was his time to shine. We hear this in some of the hymns that some of us grew up on. 'Tis done. The great transaction's done. Oh, happy day. Love's redeeming work is done. Pause. We'll sing it on Sunday, maybe, or at least we'll be able to say the word on Sunday. Jesus fought the fight, the battle won. You see, our Heavenly Father sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved, so that all who believe in him might be delivered from sin and death and become heirs with him of everlasting life. And Jesus says, done. Finished. Accomplished. On the cross, Jesus died as a sacrifice for sin in obedience to his Father. Done. On the cross, Jesus showed the depths of God's love for his fallen creation. Done. On the cross, Jesus satisfied the justice of God on our behalf. Done. On the cross, Jesus broke the power of sin and Satan and death. Done, done, done. It is finished. Check. But wait, there's more. And the third picture I want to suggest for us today, the third picture is a little bit more risky. Some might even say a little risque. This picture comes from an old English translation of the Bible called the Douay Rheims Version. And this was a two-step translation. So it was a translation into English from a Latin translation of the original Greek. So the translation had gone through some stuff. The way that they translated this phrase was, it is consummated. It is consummated. It's not the best translation of the Greek phrase, especially since English has shifted considerably in the last couple hundred years. So most of us today don't regularly use the word consummated. And if we do hear to consummate, it's usually only in one context, about a marriage ceremony. And it's used to refer to the act of sexual intimacy that both completes and fulfills that ceremony. So the consummation marks the ending of the marriage ceremony, but it marks so much more than that. It also signals the start of married life. It initiates a brand new reality for the married couple. So with consummation, the emphasis is not just on what has ended, but on what is beginning. The relationship has moved to an entirely new level. It's Good Friday today, and I don't want to move too quickly to Resurrection Sunday. But we always mark Good Friday in light of Sunday, because it's only after the resurrection that we can really see how good Friday is. And this picture of consummation reminds us of a deep truth that gets embodied 3 days from now in the resurrection. And that truth is that our perspective on the cross is not just about an ending. It's about something new that has started. The one seated on the throne who makes all things new made all things new by hanging on a cross. And because of the cross, everything has changed. Because of the cross, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. And from the cross, Jesus says, "It has been consummated. It is finished." When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." He bowed his head and gave up his spirit.